Tomorrow When the War Began, written by John Marsden and read by Susie Doherty. The soldiers seemed to have heard Kevin from the way their eager faces turned in our direction again. I struck the match for the third time, almost sure there wouldn't be enough sulfur left to ignite it. But it lit, making a harsh little noise, and I threw it to the ground. I threw it too fast. I don't know how it didn't go out. It should have, and it almost did. For a moment, it died to a small dot of light, and again I thought, we're dead, and it's all my fault. Then the petrol caught, with a quick whoosh. The flames ran along the line of petrol in fits and starts, like a stuttering snake, but very fast. The soldiers saw it, of course. They turned, looked, seemed to flinch. But in their surprise, they were too slow to move, just as I would have been. One lifted an arm as if to point. Another leaned backwards, almost in slow motion. That's the last image I have of them, because then Kevin pulled me back, behind the brick wall, and an instant later the mower became an exploding bomb. The night seemed to erupt. The wall swayed and shook, and then settled again. A small orange fireball ripped up into the darkness with a little trace of bullets of fire shooting away from it. The noise was shrill and loud and frightening. It hurt my ears. I could see bits of shrapnel hurtling into the trees, and I heard and felt a number of bits thud into the wall behind which we were hiding. Then Kevin was tugging at me, saying, "Run! Run!" At the same time, the screams began from the other side of the wall. We ran through the fruit trees and down the slope at an angle, past the chook shed, reaching Mrs. Alexander's front fence at the corner where it met the next property. The screams behind us were ripping the night apart. I hoped that the faster and further we ran, the quicker the screams would fade, but that didn't seem to be happening. I didn't know if I was hearing them only with my ears or in my mind as well. "There's just time," Corey panted from behind me. It took me a minute to realize what she meant. Time to meet the others. "We can go straight there," Kevin called. "How's your leg, Corey?" I asked, trying unsuccessfully to return to the normal world. "Okay," she answered. We saw headlights coming and ducked into a garden as a truck went past at high speed. It was a tray truck from the Wirrawee Hardware, but with soldiers in the back instead of garden tools. Only two soldiers, though. We ran on, reaching Warrigal Street, then racing up the Mather's steep drive, taking no precautions at all. We were struggling for breath now. My legs felt old and slow. They were really hurting. I stopped and waited for Corrie. Then we walked on together, holding hands. We couldn't do any more, go any faster, or fight anyone else.